Hello, and welcome to Podcast 4 of Walking the Path with me, Rita Milio, Spiritual Sherpa and Holistic Wellness Coach. This fourth installment of Walking the Path series continues with our exploration of the six steps and stages of the spiritual path. In Podcast 1, I presented an overview of the six stages and steps from a holistic viewpoint. In Podcast 2, I offered more details and examples from Steps 1 and 2, along with my interpretations and insights that I gained as I experienced these past stages myself. In Podcast 3, I went more in depth on the topics of committing to the path and your personal life plan, the dark night of the soul, and why people sometimes fall off the path. In today's podcast, number 4, I'm delving deeper into an explanation of the actual transformation process itself, and the rules and tools involved in navigating it, and the gifts of the path that are required once you have completed this important spiritual transformation. Transformation, change, real life altering change, is happening in the lives of individuals at an unprecedented level today, as spiritual seekers look to discover their own uniqueness, their own special gift. Have you asked yourself, how does my life fit into the big scheme of things? What is my purpose? How can I know what it is that I am supposed to do? Many people are discovering that they don't find the answers to these questions in the usual places. The answers aren't found outside themselves. The answers can only be found by looking within. In this way, slowly, perhaps reluctantly, many of us begin to journey down the long road of transformation. Transformation takes place from the inside out. When you least expect it, when you stop looking for ways to change your life, when you stop trying to force outward changes, you may realize that you have begun to change inside. You have begun to change the thinking patterns that held you hostage. You've begun to take charge of your mind, and with that, ultimately, your life. Transformation cannot be forced. It is a flow, an easy, often gradual unfolding. It starts with an attitude shift, a difference in perception. But it goes on to change the entire fabric of your life, not just the outward frills. Transformation is more than change. It is a path, a spiritual journey, starting with yourself and ending with your destiny. The seeking involved in transformation seems to come from an innate urge. We seem to have an innate tendency to first reach out for answers and then to eventually look inward to find them. You can't force transformation to happen. But you can learn to work with your own innate tendency towards spiritual evolvement. You can learn how to facilitate the flow and encourage its unfolding. Transformation begins with you being willing to clean house, as it were, in your emotional body. Each of us has at least some unresolved emotional conflicts. These conflicts take the shape of doubts, fears, worries, and old patterns of thinking that make us react in ways that we may not otherwise react in situations in every day of our lives. Old emotional garbage holds us back from getting what we want in our personal lives. It holds us back from being all that we can be in our spiritual lives. It can and does affect our physical well-being as well. The mind-body connection is real. Its effects have been documented in many research studies, and it has been shown that repressing anger and other emotions leaves our bodies more vulnerable to diseases such as cancer and other life-threatening ailments. A cynical, non-trusting, hostile attitude has been linked to heart disease. Over and over, the mind-body connection has proven to be a major factor in disease. Dis-ease is, in a sense, a disharmony, a disintegration of the body-mind itself. Stress implicated in some way in almost every disease starts out as a signal, telling us that something is not right. Our body mind is not functioning as it should be. The job of stress is to get our attention and to get us to look inward into where there might be a disharmony in our body mind. Too often, however, we ignore these first signals, only to find that prolonged stress causes its own problems, becoming a part of the disease process itself. Prolonged unresolved stress, the kind that is attributed to heart disease, high blood pressure, and other life-threatening illnesses, is often related to repression of unresolved emotions. It takes a lot of energy, physical energy and psychic energy, to keep the lid on our buried treasures. We're only fooling ourselves if we believe that old, unresolved issues can stay hidden forever. They have a way of rearing their ugly heads as illnesses, emotional crises, and in other unpleasant ways. Would it not be better to face our dragons than to wear them in our ravaged bodies? That's why I urge you to try transformation. If things aren't working out as well as you'd like in your life, why not make some changes? But while you're at it, why not make a commitment to get to the real root of your problems? Why not take some time to do a real inventory of your feelings, your motivations, your anxieties, your fears? Why not do some reflective soul searching and find out where you really stand? Simply by deciding to look within yourself, you will begin the task of personal transformation, discovering your true identity, finding out who you really are, and what you're really meant to be. Concern for your physical well-being is one reason you might be persuaded to consider starting on the path of transformation. Another reason is self-esteem. Do you really feel good about yourself? Do you really like who you are? Are you your own best friend? You should be. Self-esteem is your best bet for success. It's been estimated that about 80 to 85% of success depends on attitude. An attitude of quiet certainty that you are competent, capable, lovable, and valuable. That is the attitude that assures success in any endeavor. Self-transformation is essentially the task of changing and rearranging the self. That's the self with a capital S. And it is perhaps life's most difficult task, but it's also the one that we have the most vested interest in. Often we may find ourselves at the threshold of transformation only to turn back and run away in fear. The depths of our own minds are new territory for most of us. It is rumored to be a dark and scary, treacherous place, harboring a multitude of unknown horrors. But in truth, our mind is really a masterpiece of creative genius. It is a portal of power, an access point to inner peace and harmony. If we can but first get over our fears and begin to look upon our mind as a source of strength that it really is, then we can begin to use its powers. We can begin to create our lives as we wish them to be. Only fear holds us back, keeping us from experiencing our natural birthright. The continued unfolding of our personal identity into the infinite beauty of the universal source, our ultimate transformation, is ours if we accept the challenge of personal transformation. Something interesting happens as you begin to consciously take charge of your life. Once you slay your inner dragons, the emotional conflicts and self-defeating attitudes that hold you back, you'll find that you now have the freedom to move on to other things. More important things outside yourself. Your attention and your focus are no longer locked onto yourself. You begin to notice other people, other areas of your life that you missed before. You begin to feel that you are part of the world, that you are one with the universal source. This feeling creates great peace within your mind. Suddenly, daily problems and obstacles seem minor. You see your life, yourself, from a larger perspective. You begin to consciously look for your true path in life. You start to want to give to others, to be more loving. And from this giving, you find that you are receiving more love. You slowly find yourself becoming more spiritual, whether you intended to or not. This is the miracle of using universal energy. The greatest miracle is your new attitude, your new perspective on life. You suddenly feel at peace with yourself and the world. You stop struggling. You align yourself with your personal goals and your spiritual goals, your ideals. You become a better person, more loving, more lovable. Your self-esteem increases. Your peace of mind increases. You'll continue to take care of your human needs and desires, but you will also find a way to align these needs with your new spiritual values. You will have become both a receiver and a dispenser of the light and love of the universal source itself. As you come to recognize yourself as more of a spiritual being, your desire to help others, to give, to feel worthwhile, increases. And when you do these things, you feel better and you grow even more spiritually. You can learn to harness universal energy, the energy of light and love. to change and reduce the impact of your deeply ingrained negative mental programming. All you need to do is to align your inner subconscious mind with the universal mind. By learning to use what I call the rules and tools of the universal mind, you can turn your own subconscious mind into a receiving station for universal energy. This gift of universal energy is a wonderful thing. It allows you to shape your own future, to take part in creating your own destiny. But there is just one little hitch. When you ask for and receive universal energy into your subconscious mind, you can't be selective about where this energy goes. You can't say, over here please, to this affirmation for a new job, and right here to my request for a new relationship, but stay away from that spot right over there. That's my dark spot. It contains my fears, doubts, and worries, and all the negative programming I've accumulated during my life. Stay away from there. I don't want those things energized. But, alas, that's not the way it works. When universal energy flows into your subconscious, your entire subconscious becomes energized. Whatever is in there, positive or negative, is given extra energy. By adding energy to some of the thoughts in your subconscious, you inadvertently add energy to them all. I call this phenomena opening Pandora's box. It happens to many people when they first start to consciously use their subconscious minds. Long forgotten memories often begin to surface. Bad dreams or nightmares may occur. Problems, long buried, begin to creep back into the subconscious mind. This can be a very unpleasant time. You might ask yourself, why should I go through all this? Perhaps you should just leave well enough alone and keep the lid on Pandora's box. That is an option, of course. The choices are always yours. But what I have found is that if you suffer through the consequences, if you let the problems out and deal with them, you will gain more positive results than you ever would have by leaving well enough alone. There is an emotional layer in our subconscious minds. This emotional layer is like a protective barrier. You can program all you want with affirmations, visualizations, or prayers, but if you have an abundance of negative energy in your subconscious, you will not get satisfactory results. This is because your subconscious mind is self-protective. It will resist the inflow of universal energy if its presence in your subconscious would be harmful to you. You can ask for energy and get it delivered to your subconscious, quote, door, but your subconscious can refuse to open up for it. Or your subconscious may let in some of the energy, and yet it is not enough to get the results you want. It's as if the emotional barrier keeps most of the energy out. But once you clean out your subconscious, clearing away the negative thoughts and old destructive programming, then you break through the emotional barrier, and the universal energy available to you for programming is dramatically increased. It's like breaking down the floodgates. So, mental and emotional house cleaning is the first step in the self-transformation process. With it, you eliminate the self-defeating beliefs and attitudes that are holding you down. You reprogram these negative memories. You release yourself from the hold that they subconsciously have over you. Then you can go on to create positive new attitudes that change your whole life for the better. Sometimes people may try to forget their past traumas. They push them away from conscious awareness and repress them. This reaction is a protective mechanism of the subconscious mind. But once a person starts to delve into their subconscious using the mental tools of meditation, visualization, and affirmations, or by using positive thinking and paying attention to their dreams, they're no longer able to look away from these emotions. And when these emotions surface, you'll have two choices. You either deal with the trauma and move on, or you push the emotions back down and close the lid even more tightly against your subconscious mind. However, even putting the lid tightly back on subconscious traumas doesn't make them go away. They can continue to escape through neuroses, anxieties, and self-defeating behaviors that you created to deal with them in the first place. Your own particular stresses or anxieties are your mind's way of releasing the tensions that build up inside your mind. Sometimes this energy builds up to a point where it's about to boil over. You're about to blow your stack. Then your mind releases some of the tension, just as a pressure cooker releases steam through an escape valve. Sooner or later, you can be certain that you will let these emotions out. Your subconscious mind sooner or later forces you to deal with hidden traumas. The dynamic interaction between the conscious and subconscious mind is always trying to work out a balance between each of their conflicting goals. Your conscious mind tries to protect you from things that upset you. Your subconscious, on the other hand, realizes that you need to sort out deep-seated emotions and reevaluate them in the light of your changing attitudes and resources. It tries to help you do that by presenting you with new information through insights, intuitions, and dreams. Your subconscious never gives up on you, and it never gives you more than you can handle. It often weaves a complex tapestry, presenting you with one piece of information at a time, over a long period. Some detective work is often necessary to piece together the puzzle of subconscious messages. They may come in interrelating pieces over several months or even over years. But it's worth the effort to discern your subconscious mind messages. I've never known anyone to regret having done this. So many times the old programming was wrong in the first place, and it only served to hold the person back from their goals. What better reason to reprogram old negative attitudes and beliefs? We should all periodically update our subconscious programming to reflect our current needs and belief systems. For instance, much of the subconscious program that gives you your attitudes and beliefs today about what kind of person you are, what you feel is fundamentally right or wrong, and how you see others in relation to yourself, all these perceptions were formed at an early age, perhaps before you were even 6 years old. Psychologists know that now our most definitive programming took place at a very early age, but it can be changed. Having what psychologists call a peak experience, a significant emotional experience, can reprogram old thought patterns or beliefs. It's as if the grooves in the memory record within your subconscious mind are cut deeply when you're very young and impressionable, and then later repetitions of an original thought or belief serve to cut these grooves even more deeply. But an emotional experience of great significance later in life can change all that. A peak experience acts as a groove of its own, one that is even deeper than the current one. In a sense, it programs over the old message with a new one. This can be very useful. For how many of us were at our highest potential for growth and understanding at 6 years of age? Why should we expect that all the beliefs and attitudes we formed at that time of our life should be valid for us today? Once that we understand that it is the job of adulthood to take charge of our emotional attitudes and to change the unhealthy and unhelpful attitudes and beliefs that we have at the subconscious level where they live. And we can do that by using the rules and tools that the Universal Source has provided for us specifically for this purpose. And the best part is that you don't have to know what caused the problem in the first place. Through the use of visualization and imagery, you can reprogram old erroneous subconscious messages directly inside your subconscious mind where they live. With visualization, you don't have to closely analyze each element of your problem. You don't have to sift through the old mental garbage, taking out each piece and examining it before you throw it away. With visualization, you throw out the whole bag of garbage all at once without looking through it first. In addition, because with visualization you're communicating by the use of pictures or imagery, the framework from which the subconscious mind operates, as opposed to communicating with words, which are the main tools of the conscious mind, you bypass the critical, doubting conscious mind. Like I said, getting rid of old emotional garbage in your mind is the first step in transforming and growing spiritually. And the key to eliminating this old emotional garbage and the barrier to your spiritual growth that this creates is awareness. Awareness allows you to change your focus, the place where you place the energy of your attention on changing rather than replaying old memory tapes. For instance, say someone says or does something that triggers a negative feeling in you. It may be labeling you with the label that was used in your childhood, clumsy, lazy, infant, unfriendly, etc. Or it may happen when you experience something that reminds you of a negative childhood experience, being yelled at, failing, etc. Due to past memories, your initial reaction is to react as you were programmed to react, to feel badly, self-conscious, afraid, worried, embarrassed, etc., without knowing why. Then when these feelings cause you distress, your subconscious mind tries to stop the process midstream Instead of fully experiencing the emotions that were pulled up from your memory banks, you refile them back into your subconscious, now with additional bits of emotional garbage added, creating even more negative feelings than were there before. But more and more research indicates that experiencing our emotions, both the difficult ones as well as the pleasant ones, is vitally important. When therapists use visualization and imagery to help patients experience anxiety attacks to overcome their fears, they know that the client who can most fully experience the visualization, down to the appropriate body responses, sweating, recoiling, etc., that client will improve more than those who merely see but do not feel the reprogramming imagery in their minds. Experiencing our feelings allows our body-mind feedback loop to complete itself. It's as if an awareness of a feeling starts some kind of action in the mind that then creates a complementary reaction in the body. If this body-mind feedback loop is repressed and the action-reaction sequence is stopped short, the energy of the action is forever caught up someplace in the body-mind where it keeps endlessly trying to complete its cycle. Experiencing our feelings creates a complete gestalt, a total mind-body understanding of the message behind our feelings, which allows the pent-up feelings to be freed. Experiencing feelings starts with accepting that they are there. Acknowledging a negative emotional experience allows you to put your energy toward changing it. Once you stop denying or disavowing old hurts, you can begin to break their pre-programmed cycle. And instead of automatically returning them to your subconscious storehouse, you can create a new, more positive and healthy understanding of their meaning and purpose. You can gain insights about yourself and your subconscious motivations that will allow you to deal more realistically with similar situations in the future. Awareness gives you this control. You may not have thought about your awareness that way before, but it's true. Awareness gives your feelings meaning. Positive awareness, attention, focus, and negative awareness, denial, disavowal, both place emphasis, and therefore energy, on particular feelings. This gives them power. Power either to help or to hurt you. And only you can decide where to put your attention. Only you are responsible for your awareness and therefore your feelings, good or bad. Now let's look a little closer at the rules and tools that govern the subconscious mind so that you can begin to use them to bring about positive changes in your life, starting with the rules of the subconscious realm. The first rule is look within. How many times have you looked and looked for something that was right under your nose all along? We tend to miss the obvious. We look outside ourselves for answers. We discount our own ideas and take advice from friends. We call in the experts from out of state to handle a problem when we have qualified individuals right in our own city. We often don't trust our own intuition. How many times have you made a mistake and said to yourself, "I knew I should have done it the other way. I felt it." But in the end, you chose logic over intuition. For most people, logic seems safer. It feels more real. Logic is understandable. It has credibility. Learning to trust one's inner voice, on the other hand, is scary. It takes faith. But if you really want to take control of your life, you must start to change your focus from an outer focus to an inner focus. You must become more contemplative, more reflective. You must quiet your mind and look within. The answers are not far away. They're close at hand, right inside your own mind. Once you begin to obtain an inner focus, then simply ask and you shall receive. That's rule number two of using the subconscious mind and navigating the transformation process. Think about it. What's the easiest way to get what you want from other people, from yourself, or from the universe? Ask for it. The second rule may seem obvious, and at first glance, you might wonder why it's a rule at all. But you'd be surprised how many people fail to take this step. We fail to make our wishes clear. We fail to clarify our expectations. We fail to petition the universe to come to our aid until a crisis hits. Often there is aid available if we will only ask for it, using the methods that the universe has set up for us to make our petitions. The universe works according to laws. Laws are rules that are set. They don't change. Gravity always attracts. Opposite electrical charges always repel one another. We count on the steadfast natural laws to keep our world predictable. So too, the universal rules that govern our minds work predictably as well. If we come to know these rules and to understand them, we can count on these rules to work for us. We can use them to start taking control of our lives, our future, our destinies. To use the universal law to ask for its help, you must first determine your own intentions and expectations. Intending and expecting an outcome sets your mind up for the task of magnetizing or drawing to you the conditions and circumstances that are required for your intended outcome to manifest. It's almost like setting up a self-fulfilling prophecy. Today, scientists have evidence that consciousness or mind does influence physical matter, such as ESP, mental healing, etc. In a scientific study reported in the book Self-Fulfilling Prophecies by Russell Jones, numerous studies were cataloged showing that preconceived expectations definitely influenced outcomes in the areas of education, interpersonal relationships, health, and disease process. Asking is programming the mind to influence it toward a certain end. Asking can be as simple as a wish, underestimated and yet as powerful as an often repeated advertisement, or as purposeful and useful as a planned, organized approach to reaching your own subconscious mind with a specific chosen message. This type of programmed message, when spoken, is called an affirmation. Using the mind tool of affirmation, you can deliver to your subconscious mind messages and instructions about tasks you want your subconscious mind to carry out. The more often you repeat affirmations or verbal statements of your intention, the more belief you create. Belief in the possibility of attaining your desired and intended goal. Such positive repetition works wonders. For all day long, we're repeating negative messages, negative programming in our minds. You can't do that. You're not ready. You're not good enough. Not smart enough, etc. Positive programming can counteract some of this negative messaging and change our mental state from one of focused on a losing attitude to one with focus on a winning attitude. From a consciousness of lack to a consciousness of plenty. Affirmations, because they are messages stated in words, require repetition to reach the level of the subconscious. The rules regarding affirmations are, first, create your message in short, clear, and positive language to be better correctly translated into mental pictures that the subconscious can work with. For instance, create a statement such as, I am healthy, strong, and vital. Instead of, I am not sick any longer. Because such filler words such as no, not, don't, etc. can inadvertently be dropped from the messaging when it is converted from words to pictures in the mind, because these words don't evoke clear mental images. Second, state your message in the terms of the now. In other words, as if your request has already been fulfilled. I am is a very powerful phrase because it sets up positive expectation, and in addition, this phrase addresses the power of universal energy. It evokes the energy of one of the names of God, the great I am. Now let's look at visualization, another mind tool that you can use to program your mind. Visualization, like affirmations, help create expectation and therefore belief. Belief that can alter the circumstances of your life. Visualization involves creating pictures in your mind. With visualization, you speak directly to your subconscious using its preferred format and bypassing the censorship of the left brain. You can then reach the programming levels of your subconscious mind more quickly and easily. Visualizations can be created from an idea, a thought, and then turned into a picture. Creating visualizations of the things you want to believe is very effective. Your subconscious mind does not rationalize. It takes what you give it as truth. If you consistently picture yourself as having already achieved your goal, your subconscious mind will soon believe that it is so. Then, in order to balance your inner and outer reality, your subconscious sets into motion any events or circumstances necessary to create in the physical realm that which you believe in your mind to be true. Visualization is, in a sense, a bit of mental trickery. You're in effect tricking your subconscious into believing an event has occurred when it has not. Then your subconscious, seeming to have fallen behind on the job, gets to work to bring inner and outer reality into alignment. The fact that you only imagined the outcome of your goal doesn't matter. In your mind, as in space, there's no past, present, or future. Just because you pictured having achieved your goal before you did it doesn't matter to your subconscious. If you make the imagery, the mental scene, real in your mind, you can believe it. And once you believe it, it tends to come true. We don't have to fully understand how visualization works. We just have to know that it does work. Numerous studies have been done on visualization, assessing its effect on the performance of athletes, on the ability of students to recall information, and its effect on certain healing processes. From these studies and from the experiences of countless people, we have evidence of the powerful role that visualization can play in our lives. The fact that we don't fully understand should not stop us from giving visualization a chance to work for us. We don't fully understand how electricity works either, but that doesn't stop us from turning on the light when we enter a room. So is it with the mind tools of expectation, affirmations, and visualization. Through experience, we can come to predict that they will work for us, even though universal laws that make their power available to us may not be understood for years to come. The key, then, to using visualization effectively is to make the pictures, the scenes in your mind, real. Add all the action, energy, and emotion you can muster to the movies in your mind. The more they appear and feel real to you, the more certainly you will be creating their reality. In future podcasts, we will work more in detail with these mind tools of affirmations, visualizations, and others as well. But right now, let's look at the third general rule of the universe, which is use it or lose it. Through the use of your creative mind, you have unlimited potential. But it only actualizes and becomes outcomes when you use this potential. It is the energy of your own mental potential that makes things happen for you. No one else can use your energy for you. No one else can take it from you either. We are each endowed with our own creation, our own little bit of the universe. Each of us has within us a part of the energy that created us. By aligning our personal energy with the infinite energy of the universe, we connect with this all-encompassing power, bringing its full potential within our reach. Remember, ask and you shall receive. But you do have to ask. Why? Because we as humans have free will. We have choice. We choose our thoughts and we choose which thoughts to energize by focusing on these and hanging on to them, and which thoughts we do not do this with. With this gift of choice comes the responsibility for the outcomes that result from making the choices we make. No one, not even God himself, imposes upon our free will. It is our own choices that determine our circumstances, our life experiences. If we have not learned this truth, we rob ourselves of our full potential, the potential of our mind working in cooperation with the universal mind. The more you use your capacities of the subconscious mind, the more often you connect with the energy and the easier it becomes. Learn to tune into your intuition and you receive more hunches. The moment you start to write down your dreams you will remember, and the more helpful information you can get from your dreams. The more attention you pay to your subconscious mind, the access point between your regular conscious mind and the universal mind, the more attention you give to it, the more attention it will pay to you. When you begin to value your subconscious and to consistently and consciously use it, you open up direct channels of your own spiritual awareness. Your personal plan for your life, your divine path, will begin to unfold in your mind. Your intuition will help you register and recognize this divine path. Meditation and reflective thinking can reveal answers to questions and give you ideas and suggestions to guide you in the direction of your life's purpose and your life plan. Finally, let's explore the last rule of the conscious realm, rule number 4, which tells us that there is no free lunch. Rule number 4 implies that you can't accept something for nothing, not even from the universe. The universe works according to laws, and one of these laws is that energy cannot be created or destroyed. It can only be changed. So any energy you use up for your own purposes must be put back into the universe, transformed into another form. The universe always keeps this energy in balance. Think of the universal energy as a cycle of energy, and you'll get the general idea. This is how it appears to work. The energy you ask for to help you with your problems comes through your subconscious mind. It flows through your mind, but it does not stop there. Your mind cannot hold on to universal energy. As this energy passes through your mind, it picks up and energizes your focused, emotionalized thoughts. Universal energy and these properly focused, emotionalized thoughts are like bits of energy. So these particular thoughts have more affinity for one another. Universal energy energizes your emotional, personalized thoughts even further. And then the universal energy flows back out again, leaving your subconscious mind. As the universal energy goes back out into the universe, it takes your focused, emotionally energized thoughts with it. Then these highly emotionalized thoughts are then released into the universe where they can set about doing their work. It is this act of moving through you that makes things happen. You by yourself are capable of nothing, really. It's only the presence of the universal energy as it moves through your subconscious mind that enables you to perform your miracles. Remember this, but one of the quickest ways to lose contact with the universal mind is to egotistically believe that you alone are the creator. In truth, it is the universal energy that creates. Your bit of the personal creative energy aligned with universal energy can work miracles. You as a person, a human form, without the spiritual energy, can really create nothing. Remember, universal energy cannot be dammed up. You must return energy when you ask for energy. But what kind of energy do you have that the universe could use? The answer, it seems, is love and light in the universal sense of light. These have always been connected, like God is light, God is love. Spiritual revelations are almost involved with both light and love. Love is a big part of spirituality. Love is our best energy, perhaps the only source of energy that is both spiritual enough and potent enough to replace the universal energy we borrow for our own purposes when we ask for, affirm, and visualize for our own intentions. And love does work miracles. No one can deny that. The healing power of love is our greatest asset. If you want plenty of energy to work the miracles you desire in your life, then give out plenty of love. Each time you help your fellow human being, you share or care, you tip the scale of positive energy a little bit more in your favor. Each time you give service to a fellow human being unselfishly, without thought of your own reward, you gain even more. For positive intent is also considered love. The more positive your intentions, the more loving your attitude while you're giving, the more it counts. I urge you to use these four universal rules to guide you as you begin to take charge of your thinking and gain conscious control over your subconscious mind. Use also the mind tools of affirmations and visualization and others that we will work with later, the skills of meditation, positive thinking, and dreams, and you will have all that you need to create your desired future and to bring about your personal transformation. Now, once you have the transformation process underway and you're firmly planted on your path, you will begin to discover the gifts of the path that are specifically meant for you. Not only will you be led to discover your gift or gifts, you will also be led to opportunities where you will be able to use your gift for the good of all. As you learned in Podcast 3, there is a testing period that everyone goes through in order to earn the right to have greater access to spiritual realms and the more powerful vibrations that are available there. Once your test has been successfully passed, you will be more than amply rewarded for your efforts and your genuine commitment to the path. In earlier stages, your contact and communication with the spiritual realm is set up and nurtured as you are, in essence, being trained in your mind to work with the capacities of higher consciousness levels. You gradually gain greater awareness and contact with these higher energies. And once your testing period has been successfully completed, your intuitive knowledge dramatically increases, as well as the power you can wield with the energies you can now access. In addition, there is an increase in other psychic energies and psychic abilities as you begin to work with some of the latent capacities of the right brain that most often lie dormant until the stage has been reached. Newer increased abilities begin to develop, such as the ability to use higher energy vibrations for healing, the ability to see auras or energy fields surrounding people and things, and perhaps mediumship or empath skills, which involve the ability to sense and read the energy of another person and thereby gain information. All these capacities and more begin to blossom once you're on your true path. But one capacity will develop more strongly because it is the one that you're meant to use as your special gift to the world. The actual transformational gift that you receive as your gift will come oftentimes as a surprise. It's not usually something that you'll be expecting. Remember, you will be using energies that have been latent in your mind so that you don't have not normally had access to them or use them regularly. But here they are now, emerging and growing, and you're beginning to be challenged to accept them and to work with them. And if you do, you will be guided and trained individually and specifically through intuitive channels in the ways that you were meant to use these gifts. And with your conscious agreement and your intention to use the gifts, these capacities will steadily grow more and more useful over time. Your unique gift will provide the ways and means for you to be of service to others. The universe in essence will be working through you to expand its capacity to provide aid and assistance to humanity. When you engage in giving your gift in service to others, you're actually giving a twofold gift. You first of all give the gift of the service itself, the good deed that you do, and secondly, perhaps more importantly, you give the gift of positive interaction between yourself and others. This positive human interaction sets up a pattern of positive thoughts and behaviors that can greatly influence the future for us all. This attitude of service is the keynote of a light worker, someone who is committed to the path and to unfolding their personal plan into the greater universal plan. As outlined in Podcast 3, the major responsibilities of light workers are 1, to serve humanity, 2, to cooperate with the universal plan, 3, to live and work according to your soul's guidance and intuition, and 4, to discover and use your own unique gift and to give your gift to others with love. As we wrap up this podcast session, I will briefly share with you my gift of the path and the subsequent changes and opportunities for growth that have resulted for me as I've consistently used my gift over now what is approximately 40 years. It was shortly after my transition from doing medical work in the hospital to beginning to work with clients using psychological interventions and what I call my mind tools training. And at this time, I was mainly using hypnotherapy, visualization, guided imagery, and meditation to help clients with problems that involved emotional healing. But about 16 months earlier from that start, while walking inside a sacred circle, in the desert of the Sedona, Arizona, I had received unexpectedly and totally in an off-putting way a message that told me that I was to heal, heal, heal. I quickly dismissed the idea at the time, feeling that I already had enough on my plate for one life's work. But then about a year later, in an advanced hypnotherapy training session, I unexpectedly again received a very clear message from my subconscious mind. It came in the form of a vision of a feather-headed healing guide who introduced himself and said, "I'm here to teach you about the shamanic healing energies." Well, at first I thought he just dropped into the wrong person in our training group, but he quickly offered to release a persistent chronic pain in my shoulder, and in doing so, he captured my attention as well as my appreciation, as his pain was definitely something that I was eager to get rid of, having tried and failed at doing so on numerous other occasions. Right then and there, he gave me my first lesson by inserting a green energy area right into my painful left shoulder, and then he disappeared, as mysteriously as he had come, not to reappear again until almost a year and a half later. Surprisingly and happily, though, not only did he disappear, but my pain disappeared as well, and I was intrigued, but still very doubtful, not having any knowledge of what to do next, so I simply filed away the incident in my mind until my healing guide apparently decided that I was ready, and probably as well the circumstances were ready for my next lesson. This same healing guide popped in again about 15 months later while I was working with a client I'll call Roberta. Roberta was suffering from a mysterious syndrome of several physical as well as emotional issues and had been seeing doctors to no avail for over a year. She stated that she intuitively felt that her issues were all rooted deeply in buried emotional traumas, and she was hopeful that my non-traditional methods could help her find and release the causes for her ailments. We began working with hypnotherapy to uncover and release these buried treasures or traumas in Roberta's subconscious mind. Her own subconscious eagerly provided assistance, suggesting specific colors that would be useful when using imagery for healing, along with other pertinent suggestions. Things were moving ahead with Roberta's treatment, and in the meantime, one day I'd waken up with an unrelenting urge to go to a new age store and buy a crystal pendulum, which, by the way, I'd never thought about, much less ever used in my life before. But by this time, I recognized true intuitive guidance, and I knew the wisdom of following it. So off I went to the store to buy a pendulum, the purpose for which I was assured would be forthcoming. But I didn't know at the time what it would be. Indeed, when I got home with the pendulum, I remembered a book that had recently been given to me by a friend, and which I had set aside, pretty much forgotten about. It was called Hands of Light, written by Barbara Brennan, a physicist and one of the most respected energy healers of the day. I started reading the book and saw that it showed how to use a pendulum. Surprise, surprise. To check the chakras, or energy centers of the body. I first checked my own chakras, then those of my friends, and by then I was hooked. I soon developed my own interpretations of the pendulum's chakra readings, which differed just slightly from Brennan's, as well as a second opinion method of using my hands to feel the differences in the energy sensations of both the overall aura of a person, as well as the energy of each of their individual chakras. This individualized training was delivered to me by an intuitive inner voice in my head. As I wondered about and questioned different spins made by the pendulum as it was exposed to the person's energy field, different hand movements that I was intuitively guided to make within their field, and different energy sensations that I intuitively felt. Thus began my entrance into the world of energy healing, very reluctant and very tentative at first, but destined to become a major, very successful part of my work. At this point, I had not yet been willing to use my technique with clients until one day Roberta came in for her session, and my inner voice literally yelled at me over and over, "Do that energy technique with her." So I prefaced my offer with a warning that this new chakra healing technique was something I just recently learned to do, and she would be my first client, a guinea pig of sort. Fortunately, as far as the client is concerned, the only thing that happens that they are aware of is that I'm holding a pendulum in front of their chakras and watching the direction that it spins, and then I'm waving my hands around their body from about a foot away. Roberta wanted to give it a try, so we did. Little did I know at the time what a surprise we both were in store for. Through my hands, I noticed subtle differences in Roberta's auric field and chakras. My intuitive link with my healing guide returned at this time, and I welcomed him, as I sensed that it was he who was providing the interpretations for each pendulum reading, energy sensation, or hand movement used in the healing process. As I continued to work with Roberta over the next few weeks, I fine-tuned this process that seemed to somehow, to me, feel like a form of biofeedback. Information about subtle energy differences seemed to be registering in my brain and being interpreted by my healing guide at the same time. Repeated patterns emerged, and I found that I could use this information later with other clients as well. Sometimes, though, clients do present with specific individualized patterns unique to themselves, so I've always waited for an intuitive confirmation about each pattern before discussing any information that I gain from that pattern with my client. Over time, the information that I received from my pendulum readings and the differences I perceived by feeling people's auras began to register subtler, more distinct energies, which gave me even more information to work with. Today, my healing technique has developed to include a wide array of readings of the physical, emotional, and mental and spiritual levels of the client's energy field. There's also correlation between the pendulum movements, the hand movements, and the client's emotional and mental state. There's so much information that I now give the client a three-page handout, and I use a highlighting marker to indicate for them which of the options from the various pendulum spins are indicated as being pertinent to them, and what the corresponding emotional mental reading associated with each spin is indicated as well. I get the sense that my clients' energies are telling a story. They're giving me information about the health, dysfunction, strength, or depletion of their life force energy, and my energies and intuition are translating the energy's messages I receive with the help of my healing guide or guides. I do now have more than one healing guide, more than the one who started with me. Other subsequent guides have arrived to work with me at the higher energy levels as my own energies have developed over the years. So this technique was not something that I was taught in a workshop, but rather it was downloaded, as we call it, by way of my intuitive guidance. Brennan's book did provide me with a jumping off place, but I quickly moved from the basics I learned there to receiving and using very specialized techniques that were unique to me and still seem to be unique to me today. I have found that this is a common pattern. No matter what technique or training a healer starts out with, their best training will come from their own inner guidance. Even people who use the common technique called Reiki oftentimes have a slight difference in the way that they work with it or the responses that they get that is unique to them. Healing becomes for me a major part of, has become for me a major part of my work over the years because I realized that it was valuable and helpful to people and it was something that could not easily be acquired elsewhere. This usage of my gift is always offered only when I intuitively get the message that it might be right for a particular client. I always respond to the request of spirit to provide my service rather than offering it indiscriminately. When I first began working with Roberta, I didn't realize that our work would lead to a whole new destiny for me. That command to heal that I intuitively received so many years ago in that sacred circle in Sedona, Arizona, sowed a seed that took a while to sprout. But once I committed myself to the assignment of using the gift of the path that I had been given, no matter how out of context or strange to me it seemed at the time, there was no turning back. And thankfully so. For it has been a gift to me as well, one that I value more than any other gift I've ever been given. So this is an example of how your gift of the path may emerge as an unexpected and quite often seemingly strange opportunity that you'd never have imagined would be a part of your life. But I urge you to follow your intuitive guidance and trust that the universal plan knows what is best for you and what service you have best to offer. Know that by going with the intention that thy will, not my will, be done, you will always be led in the right direction. That's it for podcast 4 in this series. Thanks so much for listening. Feel free to contact me with questions, comments, or requests for resources at ritamilios@gmail.com. I'm available for individual spiritual path coaching or for group training for therapists and coaches. To everyone who has listened today, thanks again. I wish you always blessings on your path.